Asha is also called Sundar Nila Chal and Sundar Chal, because this garden was named after the wife of Maharaj Indradyumna, whose name was Gundicha Devi. So a little history on this place. In the time of Maharaj Indradyumna, when Lord Brahma came and he was performing the yajna to install the deities of Lord Jagannath, he was performing some yajna also here. And he informed all those who were present, which was mainly the queen, that for this particular yajna, you should not have any jewelry on, but to take off all your jewelry. So the queen obeyed. She took off all of her necklaces and bangles and so on and so forth. But she had a nose ring. And for a chaste woman to take off her nose ring is very inauspicious for the husband. So she didn't want to take her nose ring and put it anywhere. So she took it out, but she tied it in the corner of her sari, her nose ring. And all the other jewelry, she gave all her jewelry away. So Lord Brahma was about to perform the yajna and everything was set up, and all of a sudden he said, something isn't right. And he looked and looked at her and he said, you have stolen something. And then she realized, oh, he's referring to this, what I have here, my nose ring, because she had still something with her. So she thought for a moment and she decided that what she would do, she didn't want to make any difficulty for her husband, but in order to please Lord Jagannath and Lord Brahma's request, she took that nose ring, it's called the Nakchana, and she took the nose ring and she hid it in the garden, buried it quietly and hid it somewhere. And then the yajna was all performed. So then Lord Brahma was very pleased, and he asked both Indradyumna Maharaj and his wife Gundicha what benedictions they would like, because after everything has been offered, then you can receive a benediction. So Maharaj Indradyumna, he requested my benediction on behalf of Lord Jagannath here at Gundicha during this sacrifices, yajna, is that I don't want to have any sons. I don't want any children. I don't want any family members, so that there are descendants who can one day claim proprietorship to the Jagannath temple. So this is actually quite amazing in an Indian culture. So many people perform yajnas to get a son. Even we hear Chitraketu Maharaj, he married so many queens just to get a son. And here he was such a powerful king, and he didn't want any heirs for the sake of Lord Jagannath's service. So then when Gundicha was asked what she wanted as a result of this yajna, she wanted that the place where she had hidden her nose ring, which she had taken off, this means that she had relinquished, for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, her duties as a wife. This was the symbolism of taking off the nose ring. For a higher principle of pleasing Lord Jagannath, she was surrendering the duties as a wife. So she asked that the place where I hid this Nakchana, there should be a gate made there, to this particular gate, to this particular compound, and that when Lord Jagannath comes in the cart festival, he will come in this gate, he will be brought in this gate, but when he goes out, he will go out through another gate. He will go over the top of the place where the Nakchana was hidden. So this second gate down here is called the Nakchana Dwar. And when Lord Jagannath comes in, he comes in this way, and after the Rath Yatra, he goes out that way. So Gundicha Devi, being the wife of Indradyumna Maharaj, this place was named in her honor. But also, when Lord Chaitanya appeared, this place became, with his bhavana or his sentiments, became no different than Vrindavan. So this is a very important thing to understand. I was speaking a little about this earlier, that before Lord Chaitanya appeared, there was no such mood to Rath Yatra as he presented. This was his feelings, what he felt when he was taking part in the Rath Yatra. Prior to that, it was like a deity parade, like you see even at Ulupi and other places in South India. They take the deities on a procession, they bring the deities back. And so previously what would happen would be that for 2 weeks before, it is the mood is that Lord Jagannath is in a secluded place with Lakshmi, husband and wife together. They are for 2 weeks alone in Nibrita Kunj, or in a very secluded area. This is the teachings or the explanation of Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And then, after that, Lord Jagannath comes out all nicely dressed and all repainted, looking very spotless. And then he's brought out on procession. He comes out with the Pandava Vijay when they bring him out on the big cushions, placed on the Rath cart, and the Rath Yatra cart goes from the down Grand Road from the Jagannath Mandir all the way here. And on the way, at Lord Jagannath's will or his whim, the cart will stop, and sometimes he will stay there for days. Sometimes he will stay in one place for 7 days, and he stays on the cart, and they do all the puja and everything up on the cart. And all the people, they come and they see and they look at Lord Jagannath to their heart's content. And sometimes the king would bring even elephants to push the cart, to get the cart moving. But nothing would start the cart again. So then, at that time, then there's a festival called Hara Panchami. And at the Hara Panchami festival, it's like as if the mood of the festival is that Lakshmi, Lord Jagannath, has been away. Her husband has been away at Gundicha for so many days. Normally he stays here for 7 to 9 days. So he stays here a week, and then Hara Panchami day, Lakshmi becomes angry that where is he? Where is my husband? And so, taken on a palanquin, she is brought with her maid servants. This is, I can't give you an accurate insight into how this takes place, because I'm just repeating from the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. But Lakshmi Devi is brought here on procession with all of her maid servants, and they take sticks and they beat all the male servants of Lord Jagannath. They beat them and beat them and beat them, and this is a festival that takes place. And after they have beaten them sufficiently and said, "What are you doing? Where is my husband?" Basically, she's saying, "My husband is absent. Immediately he should come back." After Hara Panchami, Lord Jagannath goes back to the Jagannath Mandir. So this was all there. This was intact. This was the festival as it was known. But the inner mood that Lord Chaitanya brought to this festival is still actually the treasure of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And it is actually unknown to the common people who come and take part in the Rath Yatra festival. So the mood that Lord Jagannath's mood was this, that Krishna has gone to Dwarka, and the residents of Vrindavan are feeling so much separation from him. So at the time of Rath Yatra, it is likened to when Lord Krishna decided to go to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. So early, because of astrology, the pandits can ascribe when there will be a solar eclipse, when there will be a lunar eclipse, many, many months before they can ascertain all this information. And so it was known all over India at the time of Krishna's appearance that a solar eclipse was coming, and that the most auspicious place to go at this time, this was Krishna's arrangement, that everybody was being informed of this. The most auspicious place to attend when this was a full solar grahan, when the Rahu would completely cover the sun, and the most auspicious place was to take bath in the river, in the kunds, the big lakes at Kurukshetra. So this was Krishna's desire. He wanted to again meet with the residents of Vrindavan, because since he went to Dwarka, they were only just by a hair's breadth, they were able to remain alive in this world, because they were constantly lamenting and feeling the absence of Krishna. Just pretend you don't know, you don't understand. Just sort of look a little spaced out, and you know, just sort of look around like you're a little teeny bit like, I like the, don't know. And just, so then,
हो गया ना अब आधा घंटा हो गया इसलिए बोलते थे ज्यादा नहीं रखने इसलिए हमको बोलते थे तो बता दो इसलिए हम मान कोई बात नहीं लेकिन
God used to speak very strongly about the Pandas, because he said, actually Lord Jagannath is Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe. You call him Jagannath, but actually you've made him Hindunath. So this is their blindness, he would say. This is their blindness. And because they have this blindness that they can't understand Lord Jagannath properly, he doesn't give them a full understanding of his mercy. So therefore they can't at all enter into the inner mood or the sentiments of Lord Jagannath actually at all. They see him, in fact, if you talk to a Panda, you'll see that they don't even understand that he's Krishna. Ambika, come over this side. It's not sunny here. Come and sit here. Come and sit over here. Otherwise, it's too hard for me to speak. Come and sit here.
Suri, come a little closer on.
Are you right there? Good enough? Where's Krishna Lila? Krishna Lila, come and sit over here. It's more shade. When Krishna left Vrindavan, practically speaking, all the residents of Vrindavan were hardly alive at all. When Nanda Maharaj took Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, he convinced everybody that he was bringing him right back. A Krura had come and said that there was a wrestling match. No, he didn't mention the wrestling match. He said that he should come for a couple of days to deal with Kamsa, and then he would come right back. But he didn't come back. And all the residents of Vrindavan from that time on, they were simply living with the hope that Krishna had promised that he would come back. Otherwise, they were almost all as if dead. So when Krishna had been some time in Mathura, he sent Uddhava and he asked him to take a message to the residents of Vrindavan. And Uddhava came to Vrindavan with Krishna's message. But Uddhava, he was a Jnana Bhakta. That means that he was so devoted to Krishna, but he always never forgot who he was. He always knew his Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is all-powerful. He's the Almighty Lord. This is called Aishwarya Bhav. When one has the sentiment of understanding the opulences and the greatness of God. But the residents of Vrindavan, they weren't like that. They were quite different. They didn't ever think that Krishna was God. They didn't want to know if he was God or not. They didn't care if he was God. And if they were told he was God, they would laugh and say, how could he be God? Do you know what he does? He tells lies, he steals, he eats our butter, he does so many naughty things. How can he be God? You tell me how he's God. So they were not interested in knowing how he was God. They were only interested in loving him. And they loved him wholeheartedly. In Bhagavad Gita we read where Krishna says, man mana bhakta. You become my bhakta by giving your mind, fix your mind in me. Only think about me. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Become my devotee. So this is what Krishna wants. He wants us to absorb our whole mind and thought and love and attention in him. And the perfect example of that is the residents of Vrindavan. They never thought of anything but Krishna. They couldn't. They even wanted to when Krishna left. They were so sometimes angry with him, even in their loving sentiments. Not angry in a revengeful mood, but angry out of their love. But they could never, ever, ever stop thinking about Krishna. So Krishna had this plan. He wanted to meet the residents of Vrindavan again. But neither they could come to Dwarka, neither he could come to Vrindavan. Because Aishwarya, in the presence of Aishwarya, Madhurya cannot exist. Just like there, we saw. When we sit down and we start talking something very, very sweetly about Krishna and Lord Jagannath, then the Pandas who are thinking, this is our, this and this and this, this God is our God, we are Hindus, he's the Almighty God, they cannot be here, tell them to leave. They become very proud of their prowess and their influence and their superior position, and they want you to go away. And similarly, in that way, the mood of sweetness, it becomes disturbed when people are very in a different kind of a mood of reverence and awe. So Krishna, he couldn't go to Vrindavan back, because he knew that were he to try to go, all the residents of Dwarka would catch him and say, "You can't go. Where are you going? What are you going to do? When will you come back?" It would be very difficult. And the residents of Vrindavan, they would not feel happy in Dwarka. It was not their place. So he chose an in-between place, a place that's neither Aishwarya, neither is it Madhurya. It's a neutral place, Tatastha place, and that was Kurukshetra. And he made it possible that all the residents of Vrindavan also received invitation and came to know that he was going to be coming to Kurukshetra for this solar eclipse. So a message was sent out to all the kings all over India, because practically speaking, at this time, all these personalities were in some way relatives of Krishna. Duryodhana came, Dhritarashtra came, the Pandavas came, Sishupal came, Dantavakra came, everybody came, all the residents, all the queens came, all on beautiful palanquined elephants. They came from Dwarka in wonderful processions of great opulence. They all came to Kurukshetra. And when the residents of Vrindavan heard that Krishna was coming, because Kurukshetra is close to Vrindavan, they decided also, we will go. And what we will do, Nanda Maharaj decided amongst himself and the other cowherd men, we will go to Kurukshetra and we will tell Krishna that he must immediately come back to Vrindavan. And if he will not come back to Vrindavan, we will drown ourselves in that lake and we will never come back to Vrindavan. So in this mood, the residents of Vrindavan came. They had not seen Krishna for a long time. And when they were coming from quite a distance, Krishna could understand that they were appearing, and they were about to appear before him. And all the Dwarkavasis came out to meet them as well. Devaki was there, Vasudeva was there. You can imagine so much. All his queens were there, all his sons were there, so many people were there. And here are the residents of Vrindavan with this exclusive mood that Krishna is ours. They never think that Krishna belongs in Dwarka. It never enters their thinking that Krishna is the son of Devaki. It just never, ever, ever, ever made any impression like that. They never even thought, he's not the son of Devaki, he's the son of Yasoda. He belongs in Vrindavan. He's become very rich and famous living in Dwarka, but he should come back to the cowherd pastures of Vrindavan. So the residents of Vrindavan came, and when Mother Yasoda saw Krishna, she began crying and crying and crying. And she put him on her lap and she was crying and crying and crying over him. And Krishna, in exchange, he immediately became totally reciprocal with their love. And she's saying, "Oh, my son," and he's saying, "Oh, Maya, Maya, my mother, my mother." And Devaki is watching and she's thinking, "What is this?" He never calls me mother like that. Because she knows that actually Krishna was raised by Yasoda, and she saw what a close relationship he has with Yasoda. So Devaki spoke and she said, "Actually, there's no one like you, you residents of Vrindavan. Because in a time of difficulty when I could not take care of my son, you, just like a loving nurse, you raised my son so carefully and lovingly that my son has so much affection for you." So the question can be asked, did Krishna actually pay any attention to Devaki's "my son, my son"? And the answer is, practically speaking, before the presence of the residents of Vrindavan, he completely forgot everything else, and they were his family. And so Devaki, she was trying indirectly to say to Yasoda, "This is my son," but Yasoda didn't even hear it. And then the gopis came. They too had been waiting and waiting, just holding their life breath, just with the hope to see Krishna again. And when they arrived, Krishna, he made some arrangement. Perhaps he asked Rohini to take away Devaki to another place. And Yasoda, she saw that the gopis were there, and so they made some arrangements so Krishna could spend some time with them. So Krishna, he was speaking with them and he was expressing himself, giving them opportunity to speak. He said, I am so heartless and so ungrateful. You gave everything to me. You gave up all your dharmas. You gave up your husbands. You came to dance with me in the middle of the night. You gave up all public opinion, what people would think of you. You gave up everything just to please me. But I am so cruel and heartless that I have left you and I have come here. So please forgive me. I have been so heartless. And the gopis, they couldn't even speak. They were speechless. And finally Krishna said, please tell me what is on your mind. And one of the gopis then spoke and said, when you left Vrindavan, all our happiness left with you. Now we have no happiness at all. And the only hope that is keeping us alive is that you will come back. So then Krishna thought to speak some philosophical words to them. So he explained to them in the Bhagavatam that actually you should understand that I have never been separate from you. I never left you. I am everywhere. Practically, I am everywhere. I have always been in Vrindavan. There is no question of separation between us. But the gopis, they couldn't relate to anything that Krishna was saying. They said, why are you speaking these words to us? We can't understand your meaning. We are just young cowherd girls. We only know how to milk cows and make cow dung patties. We can't understand these high philosophical things. We only know that you are a cowherd boy and you live in Vrindavan. We don't understand these things. You teach them to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the great jnanis and the yogis. They can understand all your philosophical statements. But we don't understand this. So Krishna continued to speak to them and he said that you should understand that actually I have never left you. And he gave examples, he said, do you remember? And he spoke different times, different pastimes, when the gopis had felt his presence with them. And he assured them that he has never, he goes, he said, every day I go and I spend my time with you and I come back. And actually I'm not at all happy here in Dwarka. He said, I am simply living here for the obligation to some family members. But I am not at all happy in Dwarka. I am simply all the time crying and crying and thinking of you. So this was his inner mood. It is not that Krishna did not perform pastimes in Dwarka with his family in a very happy way. But inwardly, internally, Krishna was always missing the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So then the gopis said to Krishna, how can we be happy with you here? Here you have on a helmet and you have on armor and you have so many queens. And in the nights you will go to the different tents with your different queens and you will sleep there. And we have come here to see you. But how can we have any pleasure? We are seeing you. Yes, this is giving us pleasure. But at the same time, we are feeling so much pain to see you in this particular environment. So you can just imagine, they were cowherd girls, used to freely playing with Krishna, flirting with Krishna, laughing with Krishna. Krishna would have his playful peacock feather. He would have his gunjamala, was his decorations. He would have his flute, and his flute was his messenger. Whenever he wanted to call the gopis, he would play his flute, and they would become enchanted by the sound and leave their homes and join him. They had so much intimate, sweet relations together. And now here they were at Kurukshetra in this atmosphere, which was entirely different and entirely unconducive. So the gopis said to Krishna, if you are actually missing us, we want you to come back with us now. We came here to get you and bring you back to Vrindavan. Because only in Vrindavan can we play with you and joke with you and laugh with you and tease you. And even you can tease us and speak so many things with us. Not here. This is not a suitable atmosphere. Please come back to Vrindavan. So Krishna said, in 2 or 4 days, I promise you I will come back. Don't worry, I'm definitely coming back to Vrindavan. And the gopis said, no, that is not good enough for us. We want you to come back now. And Krishna said, how can I come now? And they said, you can come riding the chariot of our minds. We will take you on the chariot of our minds and we will pull you all the way back to Vrindavan. So in one form, Krishna goes back to Vrindavan with the gopis. In another form, he stays at Kurukshetra and all of his family members do not understand that Krishna has left in this way. So Krishna's mood at Kurukshetra is like this, and the residents of Vrindavan's mood is like this. And this was Lord Chaitanya's mood when he was dancing in front of the Rath Yatra cart. In his mind, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he was drawing Krishna back from Dwarka, Kurukshetra, and bringing him to Vrindavan. And here this Gundicha is actually where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu envisioned as Vrindavan. This was his inner mood and sentiment. So the pandas who stand outside and say, give me money, or say, go away from here, you people, you've come from the west, I don't care, I don't want to see you, get out of here. Their hearts are so hard by the offenses that they actually commit towards Lord Jagannath, that they can never, ever, ever understand these inner moods of Lord Chaitanya. But those who become very sincere followers of Lord Chaitanya, they can enter into these very sweet mellows. So Lord Chaitanya would pull the Rath Yatra cart. Sometimes he would, just to see if Lord Jagannath was attentive, he would go behind the Rath Yatra cart. And his dancing was incredible. He would dance, sometimes he would dance in like a frenzied mood. And his eyes would cascade like syringes, water, tears coming out of his eyes. And sometimes he would jump high in the air and swirl around. And at those times, Lord Nityananda would catch the Lord and bring him back to consciousness. But sometimes he would come very deeply into the mood of Srimati Radharani. And then Lord Nityananda would move to a distance. And he would allow Lord Chaitanya to relish these transcendental sentiments, which was his desired objective in coming here to Jagannath Puri. And Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita that when Lord Chaitanya came up towards the Gundicha, he even manifested a form in which he appeared as Srimati Radharani. He manifested her form for the pleasure of the devotees. So this is a very wonderful pastime, the Rath Yatra. And Lord Chaitanya then would bring Lord Jagannath, come in here, and Lord Jagannath would stay here for 7 days. And every day, it was like Krishna had come back to Vrindavan. And he and all the devotees would be so happy. And they would all dance, and they would all have kirtan all day, and they'd dance before Lord Jagannath to their heart's content. And this would go on for 7 days. And then, as usual, at Harapanchami time, the goddess Lakshmi would come in her chariot with all her maid servants, and they would all come with their sticks, and they would come in and they would beat all the servants of Lord Jagannath. This was their mood. And Lord Chaitanya would turn to Srivas Pandit and said, look at the relationship, look at the behavior of your Lakshmi. Because Srivas was a Vaikuntha Wala, Narada Muni. So sometimes Srivas would also argue with Swarup Damodar, who's Lalita Devi in Vrindavan mood, and say, what are the opulences of Vrindavan? Vrindavan, there's a few berries here and there's a few flowers around, a few things are there, some cows are there, some cowherd boys, but my Lakshmiji in Vaikuntha, she has jewels and beautiful palaces and beautiful thrones made out of gold. She's so opulent. And your Vrindavan, it is just some flowers and some berries and some cows and some playful village people, that is all. How can you compare Vrindavan with my Vaikuntha? And Swarup Damodar would return the exchange playfully with Srivas and say, and describe the actual glories of Vrindavan. But when Harapanchami would come, then Lord Chaitanya would point to Srivas and say, look at the behavior of your Lakshmi. Just imagine. She has such a feminine anger. She's so strong in her mood of anger that she comes and she beats her husband even. What is this? And Srivas Pandit would laugh and they would in this way exchange the mood between the mood of Vrindavan and the mood of Dwarka or Vaikuntha, where everything is very opulent. And Lord Chaitanya would laugh and joke with his associates. And then at the appropriate time, Lord Jagannath, on the order of Lakshmi, would again mount the cart and he would proceed through this gate. The carts are kept out here. Lord Jagannath would come, mount the cart, and he would return again to the Jagannath temple. So this is just a little, unfortunately my mind is a little distracted and it's difficult to enter into these subject matters. But they're so sweet, the pastimes of Lord Jagannath in relationship to Lord Chaitanya, in relationship to the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna's mood of love towards them. So when we hear these things, even though they may be a little beyond us to understand, still Krishna Das Kaviraj, he assures his readers in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita that if you hear and read the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, even though in the beginning you can't understand them at all, Lord Chaitanya becomes so pleased that he will bestow the understanding upon you and you will be able to gradually enter into the mood of these transcendental affairs. So I'd like to stop here with Keshava, if you have anything to add, or if anyone has any questions or anything they would like elaboration on, I will try and do so. One question somebody asked one time was, also, okay, Lord Jagannath, he goes on the chariot back to Vrindavan. Why does Balaram and Subhadra go? So we can think on that. Why does Balaram and Subhadra go? So different people give different answers to this. And one of the answers given is that if Lord Jagannath was to go alone, just by himself, then Lakshmi would become very suspicious. And she would think, where is he gone? And she would look here and there, where is my husband? And she would become very disturbed. Whereas if he goes with Balaram and Subhadra, it's something like a family outing. And so everybody thinks, that's all right, it's a family outing, so nobody else will want to go as well. And another reason given is that when Lord Balaram and Subhadra go, Balaram, he already knows the residents of Vrindavan, so he's very eager to go. And when he arrives, Lord Jagannath, Krishna knows, I will send him to play with the cowherd boys, and he will be peaceful and happy. And Subhadra is very dear to Lord Krishna as his sister, and she's always asked, I would like to see what Vrindavan is like. So Subhadra, I can bring her too, and I can place her in the hands of Yasoda Mai, and Subhadra can ask so many questions and Yasoda will answer her questions. And then I will be free. They will be busy and I will be free to go and meet with the gopis and Srimati Radharani and pacify their mood of separation. So another reason given sometimes is that if the three of them go together, everyone will know that they're going to return. So nobody will interfere in any way. So all these are different conjectures on why it is that Lord Balaram and Subhadra also go with Lord Jagannath on the Rath Yatra. So these are, of course, are all the inner moods. This is not what one experiences simply by looking at Lord Jagannath on the cart. But if one is familiar with these inner feelings, then when one attends a Rath Yatra parade, even though the outer experience is one of exuberance and pulling Lord Jagannath and all the various devotees associating together, one has opportunity to enter into the confidential mood and feelings of Lord Jagannath as he's being taken on parade throughout the world in so many places. So here they think he is Hindunath, but we know that Srila Prabhupada, he released Lord Jagannath from the Jagannath temple, and Lord Jagannath has gone all over the world. So this Rath Yatra festival is going on in so many places, and so many people already know Lord Jagannath. So whilst they're saying you cannot come, they will be blessed with the good fortune to see more and more and more and more people coming over time, all wanting to see Lord Jagannath. And one time when I was here, there's one devotee from our Krishna Balaram temple, one of the brahmacharis there. And he grew up in Orissa. He's from Jagannath Puri. And I was at the Gambira, and he came to the Gambira. He was going to, they were picking flowers to take into the Jagannath Mandir, the four brahmacharis from our temple. And he told me, he said, Mataji, you know that all these people in Jagannath Puri, they all know that in the Puranas there is a description given that at a certain point Lord Jagannath will come out of the temple. He explained to me what the people here understand. It can help you to understand why they don't like us. He said that they understand that the Westerners will enter into the temple and they will bring, at a certain point, they will take Lord Jagannath out by force. And when they take Lord Jagannath by force, he said, they will take him to a certain place. And he knew all these details, I don't remember them, he said. And already there is a temple built there at that place, because it's already known that Lord Jagannath will come there. And they will kidnap Lord Jagannath like that, and they will keep Lord Jagannath there for a certain amount of time, and then negotiations will go on backwards and forwards with the Jagannath temple. And after that time, when Lord Jagannath comes back, the Westerners will all be allowed to go into the temple. So he said that somehow or another, I don't know whether this is true, but he was not... He was telling me in the way of like what people here believe. He said the people they're most afraid of, who they believe are going to do this, are the Russians. So when they think Russians, when you say I'm Russian, oh! So according to him, I don't know if it's true, but he grew up here, he said they know this. So there's something inherent in them, they don't like us. And especially you notice when we start walking towards the front of the Jagannath temple. Kala Sambhara one time, we came here on a prikrama. And were you there that time? Who was there? Oh, Vrindavanishwari was there. Kalas, myself, Raghu, Radharaman, Suchirani, her son and her husband, and Charanagati, Mataji from Vrindavan. There was about eight of us here. It was in 2001. And we all came outside the Jagannath temple. We all bowed down and paid our obeisances. We all stood up, and Kala Sambhara, anyone knows what he's like, he stood up, and in a very spontaneous way, as if he didn't know, he just stood up, and he just started walking towards the temple, and he just walked straight towards the door. And the guys came with the big sticks up like this, and he goes, oh, sorry, I didn't realize. So he just practically, he was like about to walk in the thing, and they were furious. So then he goes, oh, I'm very sorry, and he sort of just moved back. But this is their mood. They're very much cautious that no foreigners should come into the mandir. So we may not see this pastime, but different people have told me, one time I came here also with a large group of Indians, all of whom were going into the temple. And when they came out, they all apologized to me personally that I couldn't go into the temple. And they assured me that one day Lord Jagannath will allow all of us to go inside and take his darshan. So it may be in our lifetime, it may not be in our lifetime. But this is up to Lord Jagannath. But at least we get to come here to sit at the Nag Chanadwar and hear about Lord Jagannath's pastimes, which is certainly a bonus. So now